Thanks, JB. I have kind of two goals for us today in this time. The first is that we would see the importance of making disciples. Why do we need to make disciples? Our vision as a church is to glorify God by enjoying Him and making disciples. But why? How do we get to making disciples? And then the second thing is, so what can I do about it? What can you do about it? Accomplishing our vision together, what part do you specifically play in that, and what can you be doing towards that goal? And so we're going to spend time in three passages, and I want to give us kind of a really broad view at first, and then narrow it down. And so the first passage is going to be from Matthew 22, verse 34 through 40, and we're going to think about loving God and loving people. The second place, and this is just for you who want to take notes, kind of three places we're going to sit. So Matthew 22, Matthew 28 will be the second, helping people look like Jesus. And then 2 Timothy 2:2 will be the last place for us. And that's about passing it on. So the first thing, Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. They wanted to see if they can find out a way to make Jesus slip up, or a way to get him to say something that is incorrect or goes against what they know about God and what they are following. And so he says to him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." And so kind of what's happening here is this group of Pharisees, they want to ask Jesus this question of basically, what is life for? What is our purpose here in life? And they want Jesus to give them some kind of purpose that goes against what Scripture has said. And so Jesus' answer is very simple. He doesn't just pull out, you know, one commandment out of the 10 or one commandment out of the hundreds of commandments that they ascribe to as Jews. He takes it down deeper to the bottom level. What's at the root? He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with your mind. With all of your being, you are to love this God who has made you, created everything you can see, and even the things you can't see. He is the one who is worthy of your worship, worthy of your love, and that is what we are to do, is to love Him." And he says the second thing. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this is not in conflict with the first. God made us to love one another, and in doing so, we are loving Him. And so then he goes on to say, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And so Jesus is not exactly giving the typical response to this type of question, but he then says, this is what all of Scripture has been saying. This is what every word from the mouth of God has been pointing to ever since God started speaking to man, that you were made to love God, to serve Him, to obey Him, and you were made to love your brothers and sisters. So, this is where we start when we think about, what am I to be doing in this life? I am to love God, the one who created me, and I'm to love people, His creation. Now, that leads us to an important question. What then is love? What does it mean to love? Because as we talked about in Sunday school, and as we all know, really, there are many definitions to that word love that we could go off of here today. And then it would mean many different things to each person. And so then this would become very ambiguous, and the statement to love God and to love people would lose basically all meaning. So we must define what do we mean by love when we talk about we are to love God and to love people. And this is something that God has kind of been building up and refining in my heart over the past years. And I used to say to love someone is to desire their best good, because I wanted to push back on just the feeling that to love someone is to feel, you know, affection towards them, or to feel happiness because of them, or to feel good things coming from them. So loving is desiring what is best for a person. And that gets to that there is something that's best. We can know it, and we want to press towards that. But I think it's even deeper than that. It is desiring someone's best good. It is also acting upon that. So we not only desire it, but we would live in such a way as to say, I do desire this, and I'm going to work towards it. And even beyond that, we find joy in the good of that person. So it's desiring good for a person, the best good, acting upon it, and finding joy in their good. And kind of after going through that whole process, I came down to just two words: joyful sacrifice. Love looks like joyful sacrifice. And we see this in the way that God loves us. We see it in the way that we are to love others, as we see in Scripture. And so, if I am to love someone well, it means sacrifice. It means a laying down of my own rights or desires in that moment to hold up what is best for them. And it means a joy in doing that, that I find pleasure in sacrificing of what I have and could hold on to so that this person, or we also think of it with God as well, but this other being would be lifted up. And so love looks like joyful sacrifice. Now, this is not the way that we normally exist. This is not our default mode. If we were to ask culture, what does love look like? Joyful sacrifice would not be the answer. It's what makes me feel good. It's what can I get out of this relationship that builds me up? Is this satisfying to me? Is this helpful to me? Is this moving me from where I am to where I want to be? It's all about how I can gain. Where we see the love described in God's word as, what can I give? What can I lay down so that this other person might be built up? And for this kind of love, it takes a change of heart. God is the only one who can change our hearts in such a way that we would lay down our own pride, our own desires, our own selfishness, to lift up another person. And so we must ask for that heart change, for God to come into our lives, to fill our hearts with this otherworldly type of love. Now then, what does specifically our love for God look like? So we're thinking about desiring what is best, the best good, acting upon it, finding joy in it. God wants us to look like Christ. Jesus lived in such a way as to perfectly point to his Father in everything that he did. With every action, to say that God is worthy of all the glory. And so, for us to live in a way that is best for God is to live like his Son. We want to be transformed more and more into the image of Christ. We want to point to God as most worthy. And part of that is a surrendering of our will to his. We look at Christ, we see him existing walking on this earth, and we see him continually surrendering, not my will, but yours be done. We see him doing things that are difficult. We see him laying down his own rights for the good of others and for the glory of his Father. We want to look like that. So our love for God is best expressed in our looking like Christ. Then we think about our love for people. We want to help people look more like Jesus. And so kind of the aim of God's kingdom expansion is that more and more and more people are being changed, heart changed, and being transformed into the image of Christ. And it's this kind of global expansion of his kingdom where people are being changed from selfish, worldly-minded people to selfless, godly-minded people who want to look more like Jesus. So we participate in that in our love for people. So when we think about what is best for another person, it's that they exist in the way that God created them to exist. It's that they function in the way that God made them to function, which is to live for his glory, to point to him, to enjoy him, to be satisfied in him. And so we want to help others do that. And that is what our love for people looks like. So would you turn with me now to Matthew 28? We'll look at our Great Commission and see what this looks like. This is Jesus sending out his disciples with their mission statement. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And here is where we get that idea of making disciples. We want people to look more like Jesus. We want them to be transformed into his image. We see here, Jesus commands us, go. Make disciples of all nations. And really the go is as you are going, as you are existing in this life, in the relationships that you have, the opportunities for relationship that God puts in front of you, this is our mission, to make disciples, to help people see God's worth in our lives and to help them want to live in such a way as to magnify his worth in their lives. Now, even then, we must get more specific because that's kind of a general magnify God, make God look good. What does that look like? Well, let's look at the verses here. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is a specific God who has revealed himself in a specific way that we are to worship. And so God shows us who he is in his word. He is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is Trinitarian. He is three persons in one God who exist in unity and harmony with one another. He is the God who saves. He is the God who creates. He is the God who has a righteousness that is far beyond anything that we could ever attain in our lives. He is holy. He is perfect. And we find all these things in his word. He shows us who he is and what he is like. And so when we are making disciples, we are to baptize them into that name, the name of our God who has showed himself to us, a specific God. And then verse 20, we are to teach them to observe all that he has commanded us. All that he has commanded. That is not a one-day seminar. That is not going to fit in a track. All that he has commanded. Jesus spent 3 years walking with these disciples, day in and day out, living his life in front of them, sharing with them his love for the Father and how he expressed that, how he walked out loving the Father, how that works in a difficult situation, how that works in the death of a friend, how that works in someone who is antagonizing him. He showed them what it looked like. He lived it out in front of them. And we receive this through his word. We receive his teaching through his word. And we receive it through those who invest in us as well, those who show us what it looks like to follow Jesus. And so as we are filled up with all that he commands us, as we learn to follow him, as we learn what it looks like, we then are to teach others. And that's a word that a lot of us don't like, teaching. You think that's for professionals. That's for someone who has a degree in communications or for someone who has some kind of title that says you are supposed to be a teacher. Well, right here in Matthew 28, we see that your title, Christian, means that you are a teacher. This is a command for each and every one of us. We are to teach others to observe what we have been taught, what we have been commanded by our Father. So again, when we think about what Jesus did, how he modeled it, it looks like walking with people. It looks like living with them in such a way that they might see, how does this apply in today's world? We see, 2,000 years ago, these things were happening. It was a different world back then. But these are commands that we have. How do we live it out? We walk with someone and we see how they are experiencing God's leading of them, how they are submitting to him, how they are surrendering their will to his in the different situations in this life. And that's how we teach. We walk with each other. Now that also means we speak. So not only do we just exist side by side, but as we are taught, as we learn what these things mean, we must also speak. We must speak in a way as to explain what these things mean, how I understand what God has shown me in his word, and help another person to understand that as well. So teaching has an aspect of simply living it out by our actions, and teaching also has to do with explaining. So if either one of those seems difficult to you, it's okay. We learn. We grow. And so if you feel like, I don't know how to explain these things, I just kind of do them, or I've been taught, but I can't put words around it, that's okay. You practice. You do your best. You stumble through it, and then you figure out, how can I do it better next time? You see, I was trying to help this person understand this, and it just did not translate. Then you spend time thinking, okay, how could I do it better next time? How could I explain it in a simpler way, or a way that's more relatable to them? That's part of this process of us growing in our teaching, growing in our discipling of others, is that we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You are not perfect. But we want to grow because we have this command. We have this mission as followers of Christ, as his disciples, to teach others what he has taught us. Now, thinking more specifically about our time and what this means for us. So we get that our goal here in this life is to love God and to love people, okay, kind of as a general thing. That's what I want to be doing. I want to be making disciples. I want to be teaching people to observe what Christ has commanded me. Okay, so if I can maybe find some opportunities to fit that in, that will be helpful. But really, we want to figure out ways to maximize our time and all of our opportunities, our relationships toward doing these type of things. And so when I think about my day and I have an opportunity to spend 10 minutes sharing a car with someone riding to work, that's an opportunity to point them toward Christ. That's an opportunity to encourage. That's an opportunity to listen. An opportunity to live your life in front of someone. And you might just think, oh, it's just 10 minutes. It's not that much time. We probably can't go very deep in this conversation. And we make all these excuses. But the fact is, we are existing in that moment for a reason. God has put us there for a reason. And when we're thinking about that kind of life, where every moment counts, every opportunity has been given to us, God has put us there for a reason, just like we were thinking about in Philippians. God put Paul in the prison there for a reason. He chained him to a specific guard for a reason. When we're thinking about our lives in that light, that God has me here in this place right now for a specific reason, that can seem kind of overwhelming. You might say, I'm already tired as it is. I'm trying really hard in all these areas. I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. But the thing is, we don't do this in our own strength. And that's why at the end of the Great Commission, Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." It is not us who bear fruit. It is not us who do this great work and produce all these disciples of Christ. It is God working in us. It is God producing joy in us in the face of sorrow, in the face of hardship, in the face of difficulty. It is Him doing that work, and it is Him who gives us a desire to go to someone and to use that 10 minutes or that hour for something productive for the kingdom. It is Him who does that in us. And so, rather than think, how can I push a little harder? How can I squeeze out a little bit more kingdom energy? We think about, how can I rest in God doing this work through me? How can I ask for more? How can I depend on Him more in this day, in this moment? Because it's not up to us, and we can't do it ourselves. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Part of the motivation for spending time on this subject of discipling and of what we as a church want to be doing is we have been thinking about this idea that we want to see God create a kingdom movement here in this neighborhood. And that may not mean that this church is full of people at any point. But what we mean by that is we want people's hearts to be changed. We want people's lives to be lived in such a way that they are pointing other people toward Christ, that they are encouraging this kind of all-out, Christ is my life lifestyle in themselves and in others around them. And so when we think about that kind of kingdom movement where people are getting it and they're passing it on, that's what we want to see God do here. And so that may never mean that we grow in any numerical sense here of who you see in this room. But we each have an impact on people's lives around us. We each have family members that need to grow in Christ's likeness. We each have friends and coworkers that we can influence and that we can walk with. And so if all the visible growth is happening outside of this room, that's okay, because we don't exist for this building. We don't exist for something major to happen right here in this room. We want to see God's kingdom grow. We want to see his glory resounding in people's hearts in this neighborhood, in this nation. And so that's what we're talking about today. And thinking about that growth, it has to be something that continues. It has to be something that is passed on. It's not something that we can just take for ourselves and build ourselves up and just let it remain there. It's something that we must pass on. And Daniel keeps kind of reminding me of this. We want to be like a river of blessing, not a swamp of blessing. So if you think about a swamp, it's not passing through. It's not going anywhere. It just kind of all builds up, and then it gets stagnant, and it starts to smell and get kind of gross. We want to be rivers of blessing. So when you think about a river, one city is not the only place that is blessed by a river. The city is blessed, it's filled up, and it passes on. The water keeps going, and it blesses all along the way as it's going from town to town, and it blesses a much broader area than just a swamp. So we want to be like that. We want to be like a pipeline of blessing. It flows into us. It flows out. So look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so here we see this picture of generational discipling. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. And Paul is saying, the things that you have heard from me. So Paul has been filled up. He's been poured into. He's met with Christ. He's met with other believers. He's grown in his following of the Lord. And now he has passed on these things to Timothy. He's poured into Timothy. He's spent time with him. He's walked with him. He's spent his life sharing with Timothy what it looks like to follow the Lord. And he says, it can't stop there. This has not all been about Timothy becoming the best disciple he can be. That's great. That's a good part of this. But part of the reason is so that you would be able to pass it on. He says, entrust these things. Share these things. Pour these things into others. And he gives this kind of long-term generational vision. Even in this, he says, entrust this specifically to faithful men who will be able to teach others. So as you're thinking about your sharing of these things, you're not even just thinking about that person that you're sharing with. You're thinking, I want you to be able to share this also with someone else. I want you to be able to pass this on. And one of the things that was a really nice picture for me as we've been thinking through this discipling stuff over the past month, John sharing with his boys how to fix a toilet. And so John sees that there's three toilets in the house that need fixing. There's some kind of problem. And so rather than John just going and fixing the toilets by himself, John says, hey, Stephen, hey, Jonathan, come along with me. I want to show you this. And so John, they go get the parts. They get at the first toilet, and John shows them, this is how you fix the toilet. And then the next toilet, John says, okay, Stephen, your turn. I want you to fix the toilet, and I want you to show Jonathan how to do this as well. And then the last one, Johnny's doing the fixing. And so it's just this idea that these things that we've been given are meant for others. They're meant to be passed on. And so hopefully even from that interaction, Jonathan one day will be able to share with someone else how to fix the toilet. And so moving away from toilets, we're thinking about our following of Christ, when you're spending time with someone, are you helping them to think through who is in your life? Who has God put in your life that you might be able to share this with? Yes, you are learning how to go through a hard time right now and cling to the Lord. But that might be useful for someone else later. And so we get this mindset, or we need to have this mindset, that the things that God is doing for me right now and the things that God is teaching me right now are not just meant for me. They're meant to be shared. And as I share with you, they're not just meant for you. They're meant for you to share. And so this is where we can see this idea of a kingdom movement happening. If we were to pass on things in such a way that everyone knew, this is not just meant for you. I care about you, but I also care about who's next. Who's going to be your Timothy? Who you might share with? If that was our mindset and we continued in that, to see the growth that would happen over the years, to see the parents engaging with their children, who engage with their children and their children, to see families growing in godliness over generations, to see people who love Christ and hold on to Him over time and across in different places of the world as it grows out. That's what we want to see, and that's what we see God doing. He talks continually about the nations coming to Him. It's through this type of walking together closely and sharing life in a way that you would continue to share it with others. And so that's what we want to see. That's what we want to grow in our lives. And so just kind of a last note here. How can I do that? How can I be part of that? And a lot of times I think if we think about how can I be, you know, involved in the ministry of the church or the mission of the church, I've got to figure out some area of service or some type of ministry that I can plug myself into. But I just want to encourage you that there's something that you can do right now where you're at with the time that you're already using, without necessarily even changing your schedule that much. It's praying for the people who you are connected to and seeing, asking the Lord, how can I encourage this person to walk more closely with you? What can I say that would help them know more their need of you, know more that you are their provider, their helper? How can I spend my time as to affect growth in this person's heart? It sounds so simple, but if we were to use those little moments time and time again, think of the effect that would happen. Think of the way that people would be challenged and encouraged. Think of the growth that would happen in our own hearts and how we would see it coming back even to affect us as others are sharing those things with us and encouraging us. We would be growing in likeness to Christ in such amazing ways. And so before you think about what ways do I need to change my schedule and what more can I fit in, just think about how can I use my time that I'm already spending in ways to encourage others toward Christ-likeness. And we want to pray that this type of gospel movement, this type of generational discipling would be happening here. We want to pray for that as we think about God's kingdom coming. That's part of it. We want to see people being raised up in this type of way. And so in your prayers, do you pray for that here? Do you pray that hearts would be awakened to this type of intentionality in life And do you pray that your heart would be awakened to it? Well, let's pray. Father, we praise you that you are a God who loves us. You are a God who did not leave us where we were. You are a God who sees past the sin and the brokenness that we display towards you, the ways that we despised your blessing. You are a God who pursues us, even in our sin, even when we were your enemies. God, help us to love you rightly. Help us to love you in such a way that we would desire to honor you with our lives, with our thoughts, with our actions, with our time, with our energy. And Lord, help us to love our brothers and sisters. Help us to love the people that you've put in our lives, that we would point them to you, that we would encourage them, spur them on, that we would draw out deep things, that we would go deep in conversation so that we would be able to know how best to help one another. And Lord, I pray that you would continue the work that you have begun here, that you would call us into deeper relationship with one another, that you would open our eyes to the opportunities that are already there to share, to encourage, to pass on the truths that you have already taught us. And Lord, as we are continually being taught, as we're listening, Lord, help us to listen with ears to think, how might I share this with someone else? How might I pass on this helpful information? How might I pass on this application of learning how to love you, learning how to live my life in that way? And Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified in the way that we live together as a body here. I pray that you would grow us in unity. I pray that you would grow us in selflessness, Lord, that we would lay down our pride, lay down the things that we desire, the things we think we deserve for the good of others and for your glory. Lord, help us be intentional. By your Spirit, would you work through us in such a way that our lives would be for your glory and for the good of others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.